Hello, guys. Welcome to the Man Strong Podcast. This is your host, Clint Locklear, going down the road again. We're going to do it with a little bit of background noise, which I apologize, but busy, busy, busy time of the year. So that's just what it is. Now, I want to talk about two things tonight. I don't think it's going to be that long of a show, but it's something that I think can be pretty important to different people for different reasons. One is man psychology and empathy. And then the other one is training or exercising. So before we get into that, I want to thank our sponsor, which is Funky Trap Tags and Supplies. They got a full line of trapping supplies. They have copper tags. They've got really, really great deals on predator calls, boots, all kinds of different stuff, deer lures, hog lures, bear lures, all that type of stuff. So if you're an outdoorsman, you'll definitely want to check them out because they're really good people, very honest people, and they do a very good job of getting you your product at a good price. So it's Funky Trap Tags and Supplies. Empathy is one of those things, guys, that it's hard to do, which is part of the reason I think it's considered part of the man psychology. Now, you got man psychology, which is what a mature male is striving for. And then you have the boy psychology, where the boy, even though he's old enough to be a man, never is a man, doesn't act like a man, doesn't have responsibilities, doesn't have empathy, has a tendency, if he can, to intimidate people or get stupid little revenge plots going, like you see on social media, and pretty much acts like a boy, but even regardless if he's 50 years old. Boy psychology. Now, the man psychology part of this is what the podcast is about, where we strive to be better men, mature men, man psychology. That's, you know, whenever you're going to make a decision, kind of think about it. Is this what a man would do, or is this what a boy would do? And you'll find out if you're doing knee-jerk reactions to things a lot of times, you're going to act like a boy instead of a man, and you're going to probably end up regretting it later. But empathy. I was just on vacation down in Mexico with some friends. I had a good time. I got in a scene that wasn't exactly my thing. It was a concert on the beach, which sounded really cool. But when we got down there, you kind of look around, and boy psychology was running rampant. And it's easy just to sit back and be very judgmental and harsh about this. Now, what I'm talking about are middle-aged, 30 to 50 to 60-year-old guys and girls trying to get as drunked up as they could by lunchtime and drunker the rest of the day, scream the loudest, wear the skimpiest clothes, act the most immature, kind of like they're trying to get in some type of movie of a high school party that everybody wanted to go to but never was. And this went on for days. Repeat, repeat, repeat. Now, at first, I will be honest with you, I didn't have much empathy for that. And it was just kind of, I kind of thought it was sad that grown men and grown women would try to be, you know, the drunkest, loudest, partiest person in the world at one of these things, and all for attention and different things like that. Well, the more I thought about it, and my wife actually brought this up to me, was maybe a lot of these folks don't really have that good of lives, and they look forward all year long to do something like this, and they think about it, about how hard they're going to party and turn loose and this, that, and the other. And where we were at, I mean, people are giving you drinks. It's part of the package. You can sit there and just drink yourself into a coma if you wanted to. But if they had other parts of their lives that were very meaningless is not the right word, but maybe unproductive, maybe lost, maybe, you know, whatever dreams and hopes they had has just been beat out of them, and they haven't had a vision for what they wanted to be or a plan on how to get there. So this one time a year, this is how they try to get all of that out or something. And that made me think, I bet that's true a lot of the stuff that I was seeing. And that made me really change the way that I looked at that after that point. It was just one of those things. See, empathy is not feeling just sorry for somebody. That's useless. Oh, I just feel so sorry for you. You poor little thing. Let me just rub your cheeks. No, I'm not talking about that. Empathy is you actually put yourself in somebody else's shoes. And if you do that, there's a lot of times you're going to get a radical reaction of your emotions towards that person. Because if you don't have empathy, you could easily say, well, they're just fat because they eat too much. Or, look how weak they are. Or, they can't manage their money. And, you know, they're just sorry people. And you know, very judgmental, very off the cuff, very whatever. You know, they just getting drunk like 18-year-olds. How pathetic. That type of thing. And it's very knee-jerk. But if you knew the stories of a lot of these folks, no matter what the situation is, I promise you it'll be a lot different. Let's say that somebody has decided that they want to get in shape. And I see them at the gym, and for a couple of weeks, they're working really hard. It's something you can tell that they're not used to. And then they just disappear. And then all of a sudden, you see them again in a couple of weeks. See, you can be judgmental and just go, well, they're lazy, they're weak, they're whatever. Or you can, maybe there's something going on, and you can, you know, how you doing? I haven't seen you in a while. Looks like you've lost a little bit of weight. You know, whatever. Is everything okay? Can I help you out with anything? That is a totally different way to go about interacting with people. Because a lot of times, you see someone that's overweight, and if you're not, you can be very judgmental. That happens all the time. Because, you know, like, there's different stages of fat people, apparently. Someone that's fat but not as fat as them, they get to judge the other fatter person. It's kind of crazy when you think about it. But that's the way we as humans seem to be. What if you found out that person lost, say it's a man that just lost his wife and three kids in a car wreck 6 months ago, and he does not know how to deal with it. And he has a problem with eating because that makes him feel better as he's shoving ice cream and cookies and pizza, and he's never had to cook, and he's just lost. That's a lot different than someone just being lazy. But if you don't take the time to find out, you don't know. And if you don't take the time to find out, don't be so judgmental of people. Because there's a lot of wacky things that goes on in people's lives, mine included. You wasn't expecting it. You don't know how to handle it. You could have medical problems. You could have, your kids could have medical problems. Your wife could be sick. And all of a sudden, things just start spiraling out of control. And you, the judgmental person, sitting off at a distance, which knows none of that story, looks at them in a very negative light. But if you knew the whole story, it would really change the way you look at them and the situation altogether. Empathy is not one of those things that we today really strive to be. It used to be one of those old-timey characteristics that men understood and taught young men that they need to be empathetic towards others. Boys, on the other hand, are not. Boys are boys, men are men. And if you're striving to be a better man, when something really crazy judgmental comes in your mind about somebody, just think about that a little bit. Do you even know the situation that they're talking about? Now, they could just be lazy, or they could just be completely out of control. But the farther you were to dig into that, if it was possible, you're probably going to come up with a lot of issues that would still change your mind. You know, the difference that causes most boys to stay boys in psychology ways is they have either absent dads or they have emotionally checked out dads. And if the dads don't teach the boys to be men, who's really at fault at the boy not understanding to be a man? It's the father. Same thing happens to daughters. I know in our society, men are kind of throwaway. They're kind of, expendable. But if you want to have strong young men, you've got to have strong older men that has male psychology and can take that further. So just think about the next time you're going to do a rash judgment towards somebody. If you don't know what the story is and you don't know that person, I bet you're way off. Because I've got a habit of when I meet different people and there's enough time to have any type of conversation, and you start asking a few questions, people love to talk about themselves. People's stories are amazing. What you would think the most boring person in the world is, where they've been, what they've done, what they've lost, what they've gained, what their hobbies are. People are extremely complex. And the more that you learn these stories from other people, you realize judgment really quick is usually going to be 180 degrees off of what it would be if you knew the rest of the story. So just keep that in mind if you find yourself trying to judge somebody. Now, saying that, I don't think it's okay to excuse bad behavior either. And I'm going to give an example of this, the difference between boy psychology and man psychology. When I was a lot younger and I started becoming more well-known in the trapping industry, I was getting all of these calls. And a lot of the calls were from the same people year after year after year. And it was, how do I make money doing this? I want to do what you do. So you kind of give them some outlines, and then next year they call with the same thing. Well, have you done this, this, and this? No. And then the next year they get fired up about it again, and they call you and ask for this, golden nugget of information that you've already given to them 3 years ago. Now, they haven't taken any steps of what you've already gave them advice for, and eventually over the years I've kind of figured it out. Having empathy for that person when they're not willing to do anything for themselves is not smart on your part. Because now you're just having someone else eat up a bunch of your time for no reason, because the next year you're going to get the same call again. So what I've learned over time is, well, did you do this and this and this that we talked about last time? Well, no. Well, when you do, call me back and we will discuss further options. Of those people that just called year after year, I never heard from them again. Because they knew there was accountability from what they said they wanted, which they really didn't want bad enough to actually do anything for. It's like, don't get mad at the rewards you don't get because of the work you don't do. There's like t-shirts that say stuff like that. The other thing I want to talk about quickly is training. Now, yesterday I was in the gym, and it was chest and tricep day, so I'm benching, and I got my 315 on the bench the other day. I could have went more. Travis was trying to get me to put more plates on there. I took my PR and gracefully bowed out. just because I was already more than I've ever done, and I didn't see any reason to push it. And from a psychological point of view, the more PRs you get without missing one, the more you're going to be better off to keep making them. So instead of trying to push it up to 330 or something like that, I stayed at 315. And I believe it's because I've learned to stay with the weight on the what we talked about a couple of shows back. I got to where 275 and 285, I now own that weight. I can do it. I don't need a spotter. I'm not worried about it. I can bust out reps. No big deal. See, that's training to get stronger. So I'm at the gym, and I'm doing my thing yesterday. And there wasn't a whole lot of people in there when I got there. And then a lady shows up, which I come to find out is a trainer there at this little gym. And she did something to me, not to me, but she did something that, from my perspective, was heresy in a gym. I didn't understand what she was doing at first. I didn't even need to be in that area, so it didn't really bother me. But if I would have been needing to get over there, I can tell you right now, I would have been one upset individual. She started setting out all of these 5-pound weights like she was going to do some type of circuit, like 10 exercises at a time. And she did it on the deadlift platform and in between the squat rack. Now, I know it's just a piece of equipment. I know that there's nothing spiritual or righteous about a deadlift platform, but you don't need to be putting 5-pound weights on a deadlift platform. And I was watching that, and you know, I'm over here grunting around with about 295 on the bench, and I'm just watching, and she sets a little barbell out. She's got 2.5 pounds on each side of this easy curl bar, and then she's got a straight bar. She puts 2.5 pounds on each side of it, and I'm like thinking, maybe this is for a kid's class or a very elderly class or something. Once I realized she was setting something up, but she wasn't doing anything. And all these women showed up. And it's what it was. They took over the deadlift platform and the power rack with 5-pound dumbbells and 5-pound barbells. And they did this little circuit thing, which as long as someone's in the gym working, I really don't care. But it was so obvious just watching them every now and then out of the corner of my eye, not a single one of them ever strained lifting weights. Not one. They're just like throwing the barbells and they're laughing in between. They're having a good time, which is awesome. That, ladies and gentlemen, is exercise. Like when you do CrossFit, and you run over and you do push-ups, and you do pull-ups, and you do upside-down push-ups, and you do a clean and jerk, and you go jump on a box, and you get on a bicycle, and you do it for 5 minutes, and you do all that time. That is exercise. Going out and running the same 3 miles at the same pace, day after day, month after month, year after year, is exercise. When I see a lot of people that want to get bigger in the gym, they're using the same weight a year later, the same sets, the same reps, the same routine a year later, with no advancements of anything, including their physical appearance. That is exercising. See, there's no goal to exercising. It's just you get hot, sweaty. You can do enough movement that you get sore, which is, if you go to a personal trainer at most gyms, that's their goal, is to make you feel sore, so you feel like you've done something, so you come back. But you're not training. Now, a lot of the ladies that were doing this little circuit yesterday, you could tell the 5-pound weights to them were nothing. What these ladies really needed to do, especially the ones that were in the 50s and 60s, they needed to be training. Because life is about to kick them in the teeth. Because they're no stronger after the exercising as they were before the exercising. There's nothing leading to anything to cause the human organism to adapt for any reason. See, training could be Maybe you want to be more limber. Maybe you want to be faster. Maybe you want to, you know, lift weights or whatever because you're in jiu-jitsu. You just want to be stronger and more powerful. You don't want to get weak as you get older. There's a lot of different things. Maybe you just want to get jacked and tanned and look sexy as hell when you're naked. Whatever. But to get to that goal, exercising ain't going to cut it. Training cuts it. So if you are going to the gym, or you have a home gym, or you're doing strongman type exercises, or you're just doing push-ups and stuff like that, you have to look at what you're doing as training, and it needs to have a beginning, and it needs to have an end, and it needs to have a plan in between to get you there. Like for an example, Travis has really went up on his bench from what it was. Super proud of him. He's wanting to get 225, which is two big plates on each side, 245s, two plates on each side. And he wants to bench that terribly bad. I've helped him with a little bit of form. You know, he works really hard, super dedicated, eats like a freaking horse. And he got 215, which was a record. And he went ahead and tried 225 because he's all fired up. And he could not lock out his arms. Now see, you can continue to do what you were doing up to that point, and the chances of him benching 225 is not that high. If you want to get stronger, you need to train to get stronger. So I asked him where he stalled out. And he showed me. It was about the last half of the lockout. I'm like, well, that's good. Now we know what you need to train for. You need to practice some pin presses where the weight starts in a power rack where you're having this problem and go as heavy as you freaking can at least once a week. So next time when you come to this on your bench press, you'll have stronger triceps, which you'll be able to push up to 225 because he said it came right off his chest. That's training. Like if you're wanting to run, say you have a kid that's in sports and they want to run faster, they can run till their tongues fall out. They can run till they just fall over with exhaustion. And if they just run, they're actually going to get slower. Law accommodations, doesn't matter, young or old, male or female. If you do the same thing over and over again, you're going to actually go backwards. Your body is just not interested. So if you've got a kid that wants to have a faster 40, well, what moves a person to do the 40? Well, running is the action. Training is to get him to be able to run 40. So the training would be like pulling a sled, not pushing it, not running with it, pulling it. If you don't know what that is, look up West Side Barbell sled, or on YouTube videos. I've got one. It is not a gentle machine. Depends on your weight, because it exposes the reason that I can't run fast anymore. And you walk with it a certain way. You're not trying to sprint with it. You keep an upright body and you step out as far as you can and you pull yourself with that leg. And it lights up your calves, your hamstrings, your glutes, and your lower back. See, that would be training, because you can run, but if you're not any stronger, how are you going to propel yourself any faster? See, running would just be exercise. Training for it is going to get you more speed. Then you throw in some squats and some deadlifts and some reverse hamstring curls. The parts of the body that actually propel you forward, it's not your quads. And if you build up those parts, lo and behold, you're going to be faster. You're training. Just running, the way most people do it in high school, is a waste of time. So if you're wanting to get stronger, you're going to have to research not bodybuilders, but guys that actually build strength. If your goal is just to get jacked and tanned and sexy as hell when you're naked, well, then you'll need to follow what bodybuilders do. They're not really as strong as they look, strong enough. If you're wanting to be in strongman, then you have to train with stones and sandbags and farmers carry implements and yokes and all that type stuff, and you will become strong. I mean, like ox strong. Which, if you're getting older, that should appeal to you instead of becoming weaker. Training and exercise are nowhere in the same world. Yeah, you may get sore on both. You may get sweat a lot on both. But one is actually leading you forward. And one is, here's a good way of putting it. Training is getting to a goal in the future. Like the way that I bench press now, my routine is not for the biggest chest. It's for the strongest chest. A bodybuilder is not worried about strength. He's worried about a pump and time under tension and hypertrophy and stuff like that. We're doing two totally different things. But the goal for a bodybuilder is very different from someone that's 50 that just wants to be as strong as they can before they start losing their strength because of age. And the way that I'm going to go about that is very, very different. So if you're going to the gym, you need to really have a heart-to-heart with yourself, because there's nothing more frustrating, because I can see it with the guys that I've seen at the gym. They don't get any stronger. They don't get any bigger. They just spend a lot of time at the gym doing the same thing they've done, and they expect something miraculous to happen. I don't care if you shot them full of steroids. They ain't going to get that big doing what they're doing. They have to train to do that. Training for a bodybuilder is very complex. Training for power, luckily for me, is not as complex. It's just one of those differences. But if you've been trying to work out and you're using the same weights that you were a year ago or 6 months or even 4 months ago, you need to sit back and ask yourself, are you exercising for today just to feel good at the moment? And if that's what you decide, rock on with it. But if you have some type of goal to get stronger or to get bigger or both, how do you train today to meet that goal of 6 months or a year or whatever it is that you set it on? Well, it's not going to be by exercising. It's going to be by training. So I hope that makes sense. I hope I explained that well. I hope that if you're actually doing some stuff, which I hope you are, especially if you're getting on up in age, you really need to. Because getting older is not the time you need to slow down. Because once you start slowing down, you come down with it. It's like you get, apparently, from other people who don't do anything, it's like you got brakes on you all the time. Now, is that really what you want? I doubt it. You want to be able to live life and go do things and have fun and you know, get off the toilet. So just keep this stuff in mind, guys. Think about empathy. Think about stories that the other person has, because that is one of the biggest keys to becoming a true male, because you don't make knee-jerk reactions. And the other one is, whether you choose to exercise or to train, make sure you know which one you're doing and put some research into it and some dedication. And I will talk to y'all next week.